Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, President Trump widened his war on critics of color on Monday with new attacks on Reverend Al Sharpton and other political opponents, even as he gathered his own African-American allies at the White House to defend him against charges of racism. He called Reverend Al Sharpton a con man who hates whites and cops, and again assailed Representative Elijah Cummings, drawing rebuke from Maryland Republicans as well as Democrats. This issue is being ratcheted up by the president.
Look, David, Trump is a master showman, and he also knows how to use the polls. Look, Elijah Cummings is a very sympathetic congressman. People like him. He's been fair. I was hearing a news report not that long ago that when Mark Meadows, as a Republican, had been accused of racism, he had stepped forward to help him. So Cummings is a figure in America who has attracted a lot of people in a very sympathetic way. On the other hand, Al Sharpton is not. He's a guy who, I've interviewed him, as you know, David, who's very bright. And people of color in this country like him. He's a guy who takes on the interests of people of color, and he doesn't compromise about it. So he is not always regarded as the person who white voters like that much. But it doesn't matter, because he is doing what he's supposed to be doing according to his own precepts. So Trump goes there. He says, okay, I know that my base doesn't like Sharpton, or a lot of them don't. Therefore, Sharpton is somebody he thinks the base will respond to in terms of a negativity towards the man.
What's the impact, Alan, on suburban women? This from the AP. As Trump dives into racial politics, suburban women recoil at the abrasive, divisive rhetoric exposing the president to a potential wave of opposition in key battleground states across the country.
You know, David, this is not anything new. Trump won the last time by doing exactly that. He thinks that the same formula will get him through this time. There's a deep and embedded sense of racism in this country that has always been here since we forcibly brought African Americans to this country, and that has not dissipated because, as you know, first there was the freeing of the slaves, and it really wasn't that long ago. And then from there, there was the Jim Crow laws. Blacks were undereducated unfairly, and that has permeated the society to the point where so many more people of color are in prisons and other places. So this is, and there's no question about it, a country which has a great deal of racism embedded in it, and Trump is trying to take advantage of that.
The American people, or at least those who will be watching, will get a chance to see how the Democratic presidential candidates respond to what's been happening in the country as of late in the CNN debates tonight and tomorrow night, each comprising 10 candidates, marked the biggest moment of the White House campaign yet, says CNN, and will further inflame plot lines stoked in June's frenetic first debates. Wednesday will feature, of course, the headliners, former Vice President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who seemed to do very well in the first round.
Well, it's interesting because the polling all seems to show that Biden is doing extremely well. Look, the majority of Democrats in this country are not radical. They are middle range, and that's how the House of Representatives got taken. It's how it became blue. Now, there are many, many Americans, and I'm among them, who are terribly frustrated by this president. And they're talking about impeachment, and they're talking about more radical candidates. But there are those political analysts, New York Times and others, who seem to think that Biden is going to be the one who is going to carry the torch. For his part, Biden has to get up there and convince people that he's tough enough to take on Trump. A lot of people don't think so. A lot of people think he's going to be a patsy when he's up there with him, which is why you get Buttigieg talking about his service in the Army while Trump was doing nothing. So you're going to see that one of the things that is going to come up in these debates is who can take Trump on in a debate. Whether Biden can do it, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be up to him to prove it in the debates.
Of course, in the last debate, Kamala Harris took him on busing. And now, with President Trump's ratcheting up the issue of race, couldn't this be a real showdown?
Yeah, look, she scored the last time out. She's a very good candidate. And a very strong candidate. And in order to get where she needs to go, which is to leapfrog over a great number of other candidates, she's going to have to show some more of the kind of spunk that she showed the last time out. That could both help her and hurt her. The hurt part could easily be that she's too aggressive, that she's bullying him. But he does have a record for which has now turned out to be somewhat controversial. And so you better believe she and the others will be trying to bring down the leader.
Finally, Alan, a blockbuster story in the New York Times that has to do with, well, I'll read you the headline. A luxury box at Citi Field, an MTA contract, and $188,000 for Governor Andrew Cuomo. The subhead, Governor Andrew Cuomo attacks the Metropolitan Transportation Authority contractors for profiting from the agency, but he relies on some of the same firms for major campaign cash. This has to do with the Howland Group, which had wanted to expand into the lucrative world of contracting with the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, the agency that oversaw the subway and is controlled by Mr. Cuomo, and they got a $23 million contract for cleaning the drains in the subways.
David, this governor has been fierce in his denial of taking money in a pay-to-play scheme. He has said he doesn't even know these people in the past, but on the other hand, he collects great deals of money for his campaigns. And in this case, the Times has done a good job of reporting that there seems to be a relationship between the people who are giving the money and getting the contracts. Did he know about it? That's the issue. Because unless somebody engages in a quid pro quo, they can't be found to be wanting. He says no, but facts are facts. And people who give the money seem to be getting the rewards.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.